Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL, Milan!
This was...
We're through the pilot. We're on to a new half of the season, new world, new pod schedule. What's going on?
Monday morning pod in right now. Feels good. It's really strange to have a worthless weekend of FA Cup. Might as well have been an international break, but we march on.
Yeah, a new pod schedule. We'll be doing Monday mornings, but if there's a Monday match, we'll do Tuesday morning. So, you know, give or take a half a day earlier or later than it used to be. It shouldn't affect things too much for you guys. So,
and if it does, I'm sure we'll hear about it from you guys.
Yeah, exactly. So we're both on greens. That's cool.
Yeah, greens are good. Getting a green arrow is always a good thing. I got 67 points. I'm knocking on the door of a 5-digit rank finally. Feel like I can push on. It was so disappointing because after the Spurs game, after Tuesday, I had like 24 Kane, 13 Sun, 1 Dean. I was just flying huge green arrow only from three. And then on Saturday, when the rest of my team played, I had one clean and five blanks or something. And it was just a nightmare. But I have Sané and Sterling. So that goal was an 11-pointer for me. And it put me up into a good week. So feeling good. I'm glad I held Sané. Obviously, that goal was just everything. And people are starting to talk about getting him back in after everyone was shipping him and stuff. So, I mean, team feels like it's in good shape. So that's where I'm at. What about you?
Yeah, I had the Sun points too. My Kane to Obbs was like a net loss of six, I guess. Yeah, because he didn't get bones. Fucking idiot. He should have had like a hat trick. It's annoying. But Rashford came through. Alonso in the 8-pointer, 65. Also, like a 30K green. Feels good. Like, feels... we're kind of hitting our fucking stride. Like,
the main thing I'm, like, starting to take away from week on week is that we're starting to really hit the analysis of how we're expecting games to go. Like, we were both very much in on Arsenal being... and Obbs being the best cap, which he was. I mean, they scored four.
Oh, my God. His numbers were ridiculous.
Yeah, his numbers were ridiculous. But, you know, Kane obviously outscored him with the goal assist Max Baps. But, you know, the Spurs game was very strange. They kind of just shut it down second half and stopped going. But, yeah, I think things are good. Life's going okay in this moment. So we'll see if it continues.
We have, like, less shit to talk about when we're going well. You realize that? Like, when things go well, we're just like, yeah, like, we kind of talked about this last week, and it came through. And when things go badly, it's just like, we need to, like, fully dive in and figure out what the fuck is happening and what's going on.
Yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, we have a good amount of talking points. So why don't you get housekeeping out?
Yeah, so housekeeping. Let me start with the Cup. FMLFL Cup is going to start not this game week, but game week 23 for all of our Patreons. It's patreon.com/FMLFPL. We'll send out like Patreon email/message to everyone. Have like a form thing where you fill out your team name, your team ID, your email, that kind of shit. Group stages will start game week 23. It's going to be fantastic. Big prize at the end. We got a lot of signups this week. I'm sure we'll get a lot more. Everyone should get in there. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to kind of a World Cup, four teams in a group, and then two teams come out, and then it goes into a huge tournament-style knockout round. Also important to note, obviously our highest-tier patron, $4.80 or whatever it is, breaks the bank, but any patron's eligible if you're $1.50 or whatever subscriber, so everyone will get that email. So just make sure you keep an eye out, because last year we were manually going through each team and making a huge list, and that was just, I think it took about 8 hours or 10 hours to do that. So we're going to rely on you guys to send us your team IDs. So make sure you keep an eye out for that email from Patreon. It should be coming in the next week or so.
Yeah, exactly. Good call by you. How many people were in the tournament bracket part last year? It was like 128.
Yeah, I think we had about we had about 250 or something in the total thing, and then it got down to like 120. I think we had to get a few extras just to make the numbers work, but
yeah, because it has to be like divisible by 8 or 64 or something
Something like that. So it'll be a good amount, but yeah, and it's going to be a total randomization into the group stage. So just before people start screaming at us about that, that's how we're doing it.
It's going to be great. Shout out to FMO Field Prize League's Mug League leader for January so far, Matt Shannon, a.k.a. Nacho Nacho Man, kicks off 2019 with a 90-pointer. Fucking massive. Shout out Goal Scorers Challenge League leader so far, still Scotty holding it down. And FML Field Public League, same as always, same as it ever was. Pajolski, legend. Captain, leader, legend. Cool, let's go on.
Okay.
So where do you want to kick off here?
I mean, anything from the game specifically that were kind of surprising or takeaways? I mean, we kind of expected the Man City Liverpool to be kind of cagey and tight, which it was. I don't think we really got much out of that game for a fantasy perspective, but you know, there were some surprising results. I mean, Palace going to Wolves and winning 2-0 was shocking.
You transferred in Bennett, I transferred in Johnny, and we're both sitting here with 2-0s in our team. So that was very surprising, clearly.
Didn't want the points.
No. Didn't want the points. I thought that maybe Manchester United was interesting. I mean, they're interesting every week because every week feels like a significant data point for new team, new formation, like all this shit. But I don't know. Toolsy wrote in on Slack, is Paul really better than the glove merchant? And I think Paul is just an interesting place to start because our evaluation on him has changed every single week, and he didn't really get in the box, and he had the one open net chance but didn't really like do much other than that. And I don't know, it feels like, to me, I've been saying since the start that I'm really happy to own Rashford, and I feel like Rashford kind of put the marker down that like he's probably the best asset to own.
Yeah, I agree completely with Rashford, but it's not fair to compare the forward to the midfield spot. So, I mean, in terms of the Paul versus Martial, I still do think Paul's better. I mean, whether or not he's at now that he's 1.1 million more expensive, if he's that much better, and Martial still carries that question mark over, you know, Alexis getting back fit, Lukaku fit. Like, is he going to drop out? Is he going to be rotated? Which is very valid. And
Subbed early against Newcastle.
Yeah, he got subbed early. And you know, with Paul, he's playing 90 every game. He's never going to miss a game unless he gets injured. So I do prefer Paul, but I don't think that's worth a transfer at this point. But I have Martial on my team, and it's extremely short leash. If he misses one game, I'll probably look to move him immediately. Just because at that position in my team, I can't afford someone who I can't rely on to start. But I just think it's kind of a hold and kind of a wait and see. Obviously, Martial is not at his best at Newcastle, but as you mentioned, I mean, Paul went back to kind of old Paul. He didn't make those runs in the box. He scored his brace the game before with both like 6-yard goals, and he wasn't in there at all. His stats were just shots from distance and whatever. So I think it's still a hold with confidence if you have Paul. And, But at the beginning, you know, Rashford definitely did put the marker down. I mean, his price, he's in and around everything. He's just buzzing. He's the danger man when you watch him play. He's going. He's a completely free roll. He's going wherever he wants to go, and he's putting together some big scores. So I mean, Rashford definitely looked. I've been definitely bummed that I haven't had him the last couple games, and he's someone I'm looking to try and figure out a way to put in, but yeah, I think Rashford's
good. Yeah, it seems like he's very, very clearly the best non-premium forward in the game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's close, really.
And then I think I also do want to touch on Chelsea. I mean, 0-0 Southampton, it's just...
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Yeah, we've been talking about... Sort of a shocker. I mean, we've been talking about how bad Chelsea attack has looked for about a month.
Yeah.
And there's no really legitimately no reason to believe that's going to change pending what they do in the January transfer window, because they have the same personnel. He doesn't rotate. Yes, the players are getting more familiar with the system, but yes, the players are also have to be getting a bit more tired. I mean, it's not like a chill vibe system where they're jogging a lot. I mean, they you know, that's a high intensity of 90 minutes, and outside of Hazard, they just don't have anything, especially with Pedro out, they just don't have anything that really concerns a defense. I mean, you stop Hazard, and where are the goals coming from? They don't come. You see, they get 0-0 against Southampton. Southampton have been fucking disgusting defense since Hulson Holtdahl has gotten there. So, I mean, Captain Hazard, we're not going to waste time on that. Our thoughts are you can listen to hours of the thoughts on that. But
for worth of that.
It's just at the point where, you know, Hazard's the type of player we always talk about, you know, you hold for the long term and blah, blah, blah. But we're going to move on to talking about how to get Mo in. And when you're stacking Hazard up against the other premium assets, I just don't see any world or any real argument that I could buy into where you want to keep Hazard over a player like Aubameyang or Kane. What do you think?
I think I agree with that, and I would go even a step further. And you mentioned to me just now before we started potting is like he's sort of similar to Sané also. Like Sané has the huge upside. He's obviously like less nailed. He's not the main man, etc. But he's also, what, 2 million cheaper? I'd much rather have Sané than Hazard. If you're talking about like distribution of funds and where I want my premium assets and where I want my captain options. I mean, yeah, Obbs and Kane are clearly the main man on much better attacking teams. And yeah, I totally agree there.
Yeah, and it also, now that we're going to be looking at a fairly decently long period of time of captaining Mo, it does make Hazard slightly more attractive because you can spend the money on that spot and not need to worry about captaining it because you'll have Mo as well if you have the pair, for example, which is a nice thing. But I mean, if you're buying into just Haz ticking along and just not like really worrying about that spot, I mean, that's okay.
It's
if
fine.
It's fine. He's still Hazard. He's still a great player. He's still going to get points. He gets so many bonus points every return, things like that. But, you know, it also goes to the team. Like you're mentioning on Sané, they can score 5 against any team in the division. Chelsea, in no world of life, are they putting 5 past anyone? They can't score goal against Southampton.
I feel like it's like twice a season Morata will have like a brace or a hat trick or something. Those are the games they score 4 or 5. And other than that, it just doesn't really happen at all. It feels like it requires luck or something. Like Conte scores and Alonso scores a free kick. It's like a pile up of low percentage events versus just like tilting the field one way. Like, I mean, even Spurs and Arsenal have shown that they can do it. That's outside of City and Liverpool. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you there. But Alonso is an interesting talk, too. I wonder what your thoughts are. I know you haven't had him all season because I'm in this position where 2-ish weeks ago where I started forming my plan to get Mo back. Part of it was probably going to be Son and Alonso out this week, but I knew that it would come down to a point where I'm comparing Alonso to my other like 7-ish million assets, which for me are Richarlison and Felipe Anderson, or not just me, probably a lot of people. He still feels better than either of them to me, and I'm just wondering what I'm doing getting if I'm going to get rid of Alonso. It feels a lot worse than maybe waiting a week and getting rid of Felipe Anderson or Rich. I was wondering what you think there.
I mean, I don't see it the same way. I mean, comparing them because they're the same price makes sense, but when you're looking at for your position, if you need to release money for Mo and a Mo upgrade or something like that, the real comparison needs to be who are you downgrading the player to?
When
you have players like Trent, who's almost you're almost freeing up 2 million there. There's no one you downgrade your 7x midfielder down to who's really good. I mean, I brought Jerry D in this week. He's kind of, you know, what any points I get from there, I feel like
he's really fine, is just kind of lucky. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the main thing to me is that even like Kolasinac keeps fucking returning. I mean, obviously they don't keep any cleans, but there are so many 5 million defenders who are fine.
Really good. I mean,
Alonso, we've talked, the main thing that Alonso's been ticking his life away, but he hasn't gotten an attacking routine since game week 11, which is absurd. And I think you hit it really well, the fact that they don't have a target man. Anytime he bombs down the left, there's nowhere for him to put the ball. So, I mean, obviously he's hit the post a couple of times, but he hits the post a few times every fucking season.
But
he
loves these fucking cleans. It's always been the abstract thing to consider a clean or return, but they are. And he has 18 returns in the season.
Which in that context, I still think he's an absolutely fine hold. He's definitely not a major transfer, but if you need 2 million or you need like 1.5, I would not downgrade someone like Richarlison to a piece of shit when I could downgrade Alonso to Trent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think that it's team specific. I mean, if you can hold on to Alonso, then I think that's very fine. I mean, I've been very surprised with the amount of cleans that Chelsea have kept this season, but they seem to be doing a job there. And I don't really feel like that's going to change too much. I mean, they have like 11 or something on the season already. So
yeah, they're second in the league. Their defense is sort of weird and hard to evaluate because it's very clear when they're like fully attacking, full tilt, they can be exposed. Like Alonso, you can get behind Alonso. Luis can do stupid shit against anyone, etc. But at the same time, in the big matches where they've like had to defend, they've been really good. Like against Liverpool and City are mostly what I'm thinking about, where they just kind of defended and barely attacked. And they were fucking really good. They're still very good defensive players. So, yeah, it's an interesting one with them. And quietly, they have like 10 clean sheets on the season.
Yeah. That's a good job. But yeah, that's a good thing to bring up.
Yeah, Alonso is just fucking causing me problems as usual. Where do you want to go from here? Should we talk City a little bit? We got some questions. Guilty pleasures on Slack. Is Sterling still the pick over Sané, given Mendy's due back in February, or are both assets close to equal? I don't really want to be fucking around with the slot, so maybe Raz is just an easier buy and hold. Jono said, I still have both Sané and Sterling, but I want to sell one of them for Salah this week. Which one? Obviously, it's easier money-wise to sell Raz, blah, blah, blah. But Sané's been keeping pace with him, and Mendy out is just as nailed. And then Toolsy, is it time to get Kun back? He's the only premium striker I trust.
I still think Sterling is the number one asset on the team. Nothing has changed. Nothing has happened to change that for me. Interesting, though, about Sané, like, I just want to make a general cautionary statement. When I hear, like, is it okay to get Sané because Mendy's might be back in a month, is the same statement we've heard a month ago. Is it okay to get Son when it's a book transfer in the future because he's going to Asia? You got to get the good players, and that absolutely should not factor into your thought process whatsoever, for one thing. I'm also starting to see similar chatter with like Lovren and Gomez. It's a little premature. Maybe we'll see something with Klopp's presser, but I mean, talking about the spot when you're spending four, nine or 5 million on the defender versus like a semi-premium spot on midfield are different conversations, but it's the same kind of thing. You know, we still get a transfer every week and you must remember this. And if you see a player who you like in the near term and then there's a speculative other player coming back from injury, I mean, managers lie. They ease players back. Like look at Kevin, for example, like he's been quote unquote back for four game weeks and he started like one of them. So, you know, you got to take those things with a grain of salt and you got to look at things right now because the season is not 70 game weeks long. You know, you got to find points where you can. And, you know, Sané, like you mentioned earlier with Haz, he's going to tick. He's certainly an acceptable pick. He's priced pretty nicely right now. And, you know, if City are going to start scoring some goals and their fixtures are getting a little bit easier, which I expect them to do, I think Sané's a good pick. But Kun's interesting. I mean, saying Kun's the only premium striker you trust, I don't know what kind of statement that is. That's insane. But what do you think about Kun? Like, is that too much to put 22M into, like, Sterling and Kun? Or do you think he's an acceptable player, like, to get over Obs or over Kane at this point?
I mean, we love Kun, and he's going to tick and be great. I don't really see a world where I want to spend that much on Sterling and Kun over Sterling and Sané, and it's hard for me to go Kun over Kane or Obs in this moment. The minutes are still going to be managed. Champs League is coming back soon. Jesus is still lurking. I mean, Kun is clearly not 100% fit. Like, by the end of that Liverpool match, he actually could not move. He was just booting the ball away because he couldn't run. It's hard for me to see him being worth 11-2. You're never going to captain him. He's the third best attacking asset on the team, maybe fourth if Kev starts returning and being really good. And Obs and Kane are really, really good. I mean, I think Obs and Kane are two of the safest, best assets in the game right now. And they've shown that all season with their consistency.
Yeah, and I think the minutes is a good point as well. I mean, you know you're getting 90 out of Obs and Kane, whereas with Kun, you know, he had that spell where he went 2 months before getting subbed by 70, 65 every game.
Yeah, and even more than 90, it's like in a quote-unquote easy fixture, that could be seen as an opportunity to rest Kuhn. They're in the fucking Carabao Cup, FA Cup, whatever the fucking Champions League starting soon. Whereas like Obs, Kane are fighting for top four. They're the main man. They're not really like, at least Arsenal's not really in a serious other competition. Like they're, yeah, he's playing 90 every week. That's how they will win, is relying on Obs. And Kane just plays. If they're up 6-0 on the FA Cup, Kane still fucking plays. So he plays.
You got to sub him on.
I mean, for the fans.
Yeah, it's for the fans. But at the same time, you know, all this said, if you're like 300K and you're looking for a diff, like I'm not going to drag you through the coals if you want to put Kuhn in and see where it gets you, because Kuhn has 20 pointers in him. We've seen that year on year. So that is also
so good, but it's just. That he obviously has a 20 pointer this season, so I this probably sounds dumb, but the ceiling is not the same if the minutes are going to be limited and he's clearly limited by his own physical body. Then I just don't like, out of a differential, you want more than just like ticking points. Like a differential, you want to get them and have hauls and like captaincy hauls and so, you know, stuff like that. And I don't see that many in Kuhn's future. I mean, they're possible in any match, but he's obviously much better at home. He has been his whole career. His next three homes are home Wolves, home Arsenal, home Chelsea, and two good away fixtures in between that before Champions League starts. And I don't know. I just feel like there are like other places where guys have higher ceilings and you could go for differentials in other places. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I'm a little higher on Kuhn than you are. I still think he has the high ceiling. I don't think he's had one pen this season. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's very odd. I don't know. Raz doesn't dive anymore. But
obviously swayed a lot by like dead teams. But Kuhn right now is 22% owned. And Raz is 10.2% and Sané is 9.9%. And it's just like, they're better. They're just better.
Yeah, no, they're better. But I'm talking about Kuhn as a differential instead of having like Kane and Aubameyang. I don't hate it at all. I wouldn't do it in my team. I wouldn't advise people to do it. But if you're just kind of like, ooh, I like Kuhn earlier this season, I want to just get back in there, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I guess I feel the same way. I wouldn't do it, but it's fine.
Yeah. What about Arnie came back with a brace?
Yeah, but then he got hurt in the FA Cup.
Yeah, but that was like very controversial. When he got subbed off, he was like going fucking ballistic on Pellegrini. And then Pellegrini came out afterward and was just like, oh, he's like bullshit precaution or something.
Yeah.
Didn't he score? He scored in the FA Cup, didn't he, right away?
Yeah, he scored immediately. Yeah.
And their fixtures are getting a little bit tougher, but I don't know. He's under 7 million, and I know that price bracket outside of Rashford's really slim pickings. I mean, I know, you know, Jimenez is a good pick, obviously. He'll tick, but I don't know. Arnie's always a fun diff.
Yeah, they have like a tough 4-game week window, but long term their fixtures are still really, really good. We talked about that with Philippe Anderson like two pods ago. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough one to rank these forwards. And we both agree that Rash is the number one non-premium forward, and then there's kind of Arnie, Callum looked back into form. Jimenez is just taking. Ings is now injured, so he's kind of out of the conversation. But those are probably the main guys. And then there's even like fringe guys, Smashley and other
Burnley
randos.
People are starting to talk about Burnley strikers. I'm like, what year is this?
I've had my good times with Smashley Barnes, but I need to see a little bit more from Burnley before I'm going there over like Jimenez or something. But
it's nice to just have Arnie's name back in consideration because it has been such slim pickings. I mean, rank wise, I would probably go one Jimenez, two Arnie, three Wilson, just looking at the fixtures and kind of whatever, but I don't know, just saying. Arnie's a guy.
Yeah, Jimenez is still so consistent and so good. And he's getting away, you know, he has away City this week, so getting that out of the way is nice, and he'll just tick. And Wolves are good, and that'll happen. But if Arnie can stay any percent fit and start all these games, I definitely back him to outscore Jimenez when he's fit.
Yeah. Easily.
Easily. Like, he has braces regularly in him. We've seen that. So yeah, I'm very interested in Arnie. I mean, I still honestly have Mitro, and Fulham suck, and they barely look like they're going to score more than one goal ever. His stats are still incredible. Like, I still don't feel that bad holding Mitro, even though he's blanked for forever other than Huddersfield in Game Week 20. I still feel like he's going to kind of just tick, and that's not like a pressing need in my squad.
I could not disagree more. I think that's an urgent transfer out. He's someone I would never want to rely on starting the way that Ranieri sets up. Okay. I don't really care what the stats say. I mean, I think I've watched almost every Fulham game since he switched to the back five.
Yeah.
And they just don't attack. So I think that's just a diabolical pick, especially when you could save a couple shekels going to Jimenez. I would want Wilson over him. I would want probably a Burnley striker over him. He is so far down on that pecking order to me. I would be nowhere near.
Yeah, he's not that far from me. I mean, there was no defending at all. Obviously, when you play against Arsenal, there's going to be very little defending from either team. But
they also didn't have Chambo. He was playing like a dead, rotated squad. I mean, they were just all sorts.
That's actually an interesting point, though, that you just kind of brought up, that you just reminded me, because I had this like sort of like shower thought about this, but we have to take the last period, the last whatever it is, five game weeks, sort of, with a little bit of grain of salt regarding the lower teams and how they played, and even evaluating individual players. Like, I think like Felipe Anderson and West Ham are a good case example. Like, we know they're good. Their last two games, they've been completely dead. And any team that's not really in the top six can't rotate, you know, like the top six can over the period. And people were dead. Like, there were teams playing on 2 days rest, completely unchanged lineup. I mean, Everton, too. We saw a huge dip in form from Everton. Didn't really look like scoring. It's Leicester or Brighton. Diabolical performances.
I mean, and they didn't score.
And I think, like, some percent of that, and it's really hard to know what percent of that, but some percent of that should go down to just these players are all dead and they're playing on 2 days rest for five game weeks straight or something like that. And I think that this little break, FA Cup, most of the big FPL assets are getting rested on these mid-table to lower teams. And I think we'll see like a bounce back from the upper middle, you know, the mid-table teams versus the lower teams. Does that make any sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, like, I think the Wolves-Palace game was a good example of this. I mean, it had 0-0 written all over it, and neither team could do much until it was, like, 84th minute or something like that when we scored, and then we got a stoppage time goal or pen or whatever. But they were tired, and they weren't attacking. But when we talk back to Mitrovic, they had several games in the back five before that where they weren't attacking. And so, I mean, I think that is a different case. I mean, Mitrovic's one goal against Huddersfield's in fucking stoppage time was like pretty lucky. I get your point that he's had some chances and his stats have been okay, but you know, yeah, I think that's definitely, especially with Everton, you know, he rested Rich one game, then he rested Siggy the other game.
Right.
But in general, yeah, those mid-table teams that don't have the squad and don't have the luxury of rotating, they definitely feel it for sure.
Yeah, because I just thought of it because you mentioned that, and everyone's getting rid of Richarlison, everyone's getting rid of Felipe Anderson, and probably other guys that I'm not thinking of, but I still think they're totally fine. Like, I think Everton's going to be fine. It'd be very surprising to me if they just were awful all of a sudden. It makes kind of no sense. And same with West Ham. I mean, they've had two underwhelming matches. Arnie Brace just to equalize against Brighton, and they got done by Burnley the week before. And I think they'll be fine as well. I think they're still like a pretty decent attacking team, pretty decent mid-table team.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially like with Everton, a lot of people are getting nervous with Rich, but they're still like home Bournemouth at Southampton, at Huddersfield next three, home Wolves at Watford. I mean, the next five games, it was kind of like an eight or so game week run for them, and they just put up 2-0s, which is obviously unfortunate for people that own their attackers, but in really good fixtures. But yeah, I agree. I think holding the Everton assets till game week 27 is perfectly acceptable. I agree. I think Felipe is still fine, and they still have some pretty good fixtures. So yeah, I think patience definitely theirs.
They should bounce back.
Yeah.
What else should we talk about?
Kind of just general interested in a little defense talk, just because, you know, we're getting Trent back, and Liverpool's fixtures are getting better. So obviously people are looking there, but I cannot remember a season since I've been playing the game where there have been no 5.5 million assets in the game. It's just a weird one, isn't it?
It's very, very weird. It's especially weird because there's Liverpool. City have been really bad keeping clean sheets, who are usually, you can rely on that. Chelsea have been good, so they're the other good team. And then the other top six teams are all really bad at keeping cleans, and none of them are really worth it. I mean, yeah, Cola is sort of worth it, but, you know, Spurs rotate their back four for fun and aren't very good at keeping clean sheets, and United's defense is diabolical. So that's usually where we find the 5-5 assets that are good, and there's just a huge void there. Yeah, it is a weird one. I think you nailed it on your wild card whenever that was, like 8-ish weeks ago, with like you want one or two Liverpool guys, and then like Palace defense is like the fifth best defense in the league, and Wolves defense is like the fourth or fifth best defense in the league, and you just go cheap from there.
Yeah, the other thing that's really interesting this season that's very abnormal from seasons past is just the amount of sub 4 or 5 million defenders on teams that are just kind of okay to rotate, and they're okay at home. Like, I mean, we're talking about like the Bennett and Johnny. We have like Wan-Bissaka started at four. I mean, Chambers has emerged. They've been good defensively the last five or so. Usually there's maybe 2-4 million defenders in the game, sometimes only one in the entire game, let alone a player that is priced like that, that you would ever want to start or ever want to have in a defensive
usually
rotation.
Usually they're the worst player in your squad, and it's they're like third Peltier on your bench every single week.
Yeah, like Peltier. Like that's the kind of 4 million guys that the game gives us. But somehow this season, I don't know if there were four or fives that dropped, or there were just 4 millions that snuck under the radar that they mispriced. But usually, you know, they kind of err on the side of caution and price, you know, you see a team like, you know, Burrow the other year, and every single defender on their team is just 4 or 5. And then there's like Gibson at 5. And this season they didn't do that. And there are a lot of sub 4 or 5 million defenders. And like my defense right now, I have Digne, Dean at 5. And then I have four guys who are all under 4-2, 4-2, 4-2, and 4-1.
Fucking crazy. Yeah, that would never, ever happen in seasons past.
Yeah, even if they were all 4 or 5 guys, like I'm saving like a million there. And I mean, that's a thing. I mean, it's a shift because we haven't really seen it before, but it's just something to think about where you're putting your money in and playing around with it. Because we used to, you know, maybe not last season. Last season really was the year where heavy defenses sort of started to emerge, but we used to go maybe one premium or 1-5-5 and then 4-4-5s, and we would rotate them for two spots. And we were in 3-4-3. That was a norm for 3-4 years. Just every year, that's what everyone did. And this season, that's still a viable tactic, but instead of having to spend 4-5 or even maybe 4-6, 4-7, you could spend 4-2, 4-3 on those spots, and you're saving a lot of money. So just something to think about if you're wildcarding early or whatever, just playing around with, just make sure that you're keeping an eye on that bracket, because there's a lot of value there.
Yeah, I feel like they just made a lot of mistakes.
Price-wise, you mean?
Price-wise. I mean, Juan comes in at 4-0. Like you said, usually they err on the side of caution. Like, usually if there's a guy who might be starting, he's 4-5.
Yeah.
And this year, Juan came in 4-0. Everyone knew that he was probably going to be the starter and definitely the best right back at the club. And even like Bennett, like what is Bennett doing being priced at 4-0? He was never not nailed. Like he came in, has been playing 90 since game week one. He starts 4-0.
I think Saiz played center back for them last year. They were maybe thinking he was their fourth center back.
And they got Dendonker and shit.
Yeah, Dendonker was supposed to maybe be there. They didn't know they were going to play three at the back. I mean, yeah, but either way, it's an interesting one. And whether or not they got it wrong, though, for the game, I feel like it's good because I feel like we've never had more diversity in terms of price structure, team formation. Like there are a lot of options, which is really nice.
Yeah. That's true. That's good. Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Should we do some questions?
Yeah.
Dodie Dore on Twitter. Is there any reason to not just bin Kane to get Salah?
I think it comes down to obviously getting Mo in should be priority number one for anyone that's playing FPL and does not own Mo, because the fixtures are great. He's playing out of position and they look like they're back to their best.
Yeah.
But if that's... you have to have other ways to find money to get to him than just Kane. So it depends on, you know, do you prefer OBS? Do you think that extra million is important? Who are you down? Who else could you downgrade? Kind of things like that. I still am of the mind that Kane is just gonna, he's just gonna tick even when Son goes. You know, they have Eriksen back, Ollie's back. You know, Kane was still returning reasonably well at the beginning of the season when Son was not in the team. I mean, Kane, the last time Kane started and blanked was in game week 10. So
fucking ridiculous is that.
I just don't know how much
he'll
you're...
He'll tick.
Yeah, like he's in a tick and he's obviously not going to be value, quote unquote value at 12-5 right. when you never captain him and he's, you know, he gets 6 or 8 yeah. or like 5,
but he's going to
point. Yeah, points are points. I think that I feel more comfortable that he's going to score every game than someone like Hazard or, you know, maybe even someone like Aubameyang. So I just feel like Kane is not the place I would be wanting to make funds. So I, that's number one. Number two, if that's what you deem the way to get Mo, then yes, I would do that because I think Mo is the most important player in the game to own from game week 22, probably onwards to the end of the season.
Yeah, and I mostly agree with that. And I also want to pair that with another question, and I don't remember who wrote it on Slack, but someone wrote on Slack, is Mo absolute necessity or, you know, some hyperbolic thing like that to get in this game week, or can it wait a week? It can always wait a week. I might even wait a week, and I'm a fucking Mo merchant. You're not going to lose your season because a lot of people are going to captain him next week and he might fucking hat trick. It would suck, but you're fine. It's better than like taking unnecessary hits and getting rid of guys that you don't want to get rid of. Calm down.
Yeah, I mean, for example, like if you're looking at a -8, to get Mo in this week, I would probably bottle that.
Yeah,
and
just
either
chill.
And either save or look to take a -4. But there are still some viable captain options outside of Mo this game week. And like you mentioned, you know, it can wait. It can always wait a week. I mean, at Brighton, Brighton have been a fucking shambles this season. I don't know what they're up to, but you know, they're always reasonably good at home. Good.
Yeah,
I still think they're going to get absolutely done. Probably let in 3-3 at minimum. But yeah, I think you got to just kind of, you know, you got to just think about your squad. But yeah, I mean, the sooner the better.
The sooner the better. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Chad on Slack, if Chaz, Austin, FA charge, and Ings injury are out, do you rate Armstrong as an out-of-position differential for the upcoming Southampton fixtures?
I mean, we need to get like Guy on the pod for this talk.
Southampton they do interest me, and I have liked the way they look going forward a lot. But they're another one where I kind of feel like they just totally lost their legs and kind of just played Chelsea for a draw. And I'm excited to see them, but I'm not bringing anyone in yet.
I like Armstrong definitely the most of their midfield assets. I also think that at Leicester is an awful fixture for them. I would not be in a hurry to bring any of their players in right now. I would love the extra game week to get the team sheet. I think I saw a quote of him kind of saying he was really trying to protect Armstrong. He missed one of those games.
He had a knock or something in that FA Cup. Yeah.
After Leicester, you know, home Everton, home Palace, at Burnley, home Cardiff. I mean, there could be points there. I definitely don't mind the Armstrong chat at all. He's priced really favorably. 5-1 is cheap as chips, and I would have no problem starting him for those four games whatsoever. I mean, even at Arsenal, home Fulham, following that four, those are both good startable fixtures as well. So, yeah, I think Southampton are interesting. The main other thing
they're
is interesting
so
is
so cheap, all of their players.
Yeah, all their players. I mean, the attack, obviously, Chaz, Long, like, you don't want to get in there, but Cedric back at 4-2 is interesting. I just don't think their defense is good, but they still have good fixtures. So at that price, you know, when you're looking at him against, like, I have Kiko, and I never think that Watford are going to keep it clean. Their defense is fucking disgusting. And that's a straight swap I'm eyeing. If I can spare the transfer sometime in the next two game weeks, as something maybe I could try and do. But, you know, when you have a 4-2 defender and you're starting them in fixtures like home Palace or home Cardiff, it doesn't really matter what team you're flying on. Like, that's good value. So I think that's an interesting spot.
Yeah, especially at wing back is interesting too.
Yeah.
And Target has been really good. I don't know if Birdie's going to come back in for him, but Target's been really good.
Yeah, Target's a good shout.
I mean, even Redmond's been good under Azenhoodle, and Ings will be back in three-ish weeks. Hoiberg will be back next week. Like, they have guys that are sort of worth owning and worth keeping an eye on all over the place.
I mean, I would never take Redmond over Armstrong. I don't care what his returns or his stats say, but yeah.
I still have the Redmond bracing in like game week 36 for Norwich 3 seasons ago. I still have that vibe in my head, so it's great. Did you freak on Slack? We kind of just answered this, but if you're an idiot like me who doesn't have Salah or City Attack, which is more important to get first, and they're both important to get.
Yeah, but it's definitely Mo.
It's definitely Mo. But yeah, I'd be angling for both.
And the main thing why, for me anyway, that I'm emphasizing Mo so much over any other player is just the captaincy. I mean, he's going to be captain by almost everyone. The fixtures are so good for so long, and that's the kind of thing, you know, a single pop of Raz scoring 12 is not going to hurt you as much as a single pop of Mo scoring 12 because it's 24. So that's what you got to keep in mind.
Yep. This guy must be new or something. Zooms Wanger on Slack. Best calls and worst regrets over the Christmas period. Reflection time.
That's a tough one.
I mean, we both brought Sun in before the Christmas period, but we both brought Sun in like right as his explosion was starting, so that was a great job by us.
Yeah, I think I got him in game week 14.
Yeah, and holding our city now feels really good. You know, we rode the blanks for a bit, and they had their bad, you know, whatever, their bad form, in and out of bad form, and now it seems like everyone's clamoring to like get rid of Haz and get rid of other guys to get city guys back in. We still have our city guys.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, Rashford's been great for you. You brought him in.
Yeah, Rashford's been great for me.
And I mean, Rondon has been fucking stud for me.
I love Rondon.
Such a tick monster. He's so good. And yeah, I mean, I still think that my call of the season, excuse me, I'm having one of my worst seasons. I've never been outside of the top 100K for this long since I've started playing the game, but my call of the season was definitely going absolute cheap as chips in defense. It's
fantastic.
Been so good for me. So I'm happy I'm still there. I mean, I definitely am looking to try and figure out how to get Trent in. I'm not sure if I'm going to do any type of shift at some point soon, but after I get Mo in, I'm going to kind of look at everything and reassess. But yeah. I think overall, though, I feel like we did pretty well over Christmas period. I mean, the bench, I've had a pretty decent bench for a while, and that's been really nice. I've had actual points off the bench for the first time in a while, so I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I had a nice like Schindler -3 on the bench this week, looking good.
I mean, you didn't need him, so that was a good time for it to come.
Leave him on the bench.
Kane also. I mean,
Kane.
You were the most like reluctant and hating of Kane of life when you did not own him when I owned him for a little spell, and then you bought him.
Yep.
And then, you know, it's not like sexy or, you know, whatever, but he's just been returning every fucking start, like I mentioned. So that's been a good call too. I mean, people have been getting him in and stuff, so that's been good. So, yeah.
Yep. Jacob in on Slack. Should a change in team structure from 3-4-3 to 3-5-2, for example, be mainly influenced by the form of the heavy hitters, or is it better to look at any players in form and be more fluid in for what formation you put out week to week?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really that question is your third striker and your fifth midfielder?
Yeah, and how much you should, or like fourth defender, I guess. Like if you should be looking for a flexible formation or not. They're both right.
Yeah,
I think either formation is right and the other one's wrong. That doesn't exist.
I think it, in terms of the heavy hitters, I mean, those should be the staples. So yes, that wouldn't affect how you're rotating formation wise week to week. It would be your fringe, like your last midfielder, your last defender, your last blah, blah, blah. So I think what's more important when you're looking at that and your team is kind of really looking at the rotation and planning it well, because you know, if you're a fifth midfielder and your third striker, you're rotating one spot for them and they both rotate poorly, as in they have good fixtures together and bad fixtures together, then that's a bad job. You don't want that. So I think you got to just kind of look at, okay, I'm going to be rotating either my fourth and fifth defender, my third striker, my fifth midfielder. Just look at the fixtures and find someone on a team who rotates well, because those are players that, like, you know, we mentioned, with the premium assets, they can return against anyone. So the fixtures, yes, they matter, but not really, because they're still going to have 60% possession. They're still going to be done. Like, you know, if they're home Wolves or if they're home Cardiff, you know, that those are still good fixtures. But, you know, when you're looking at someone like De La Feu, for example, if they're at Spurs or they're at Everton, like those are very different games, and you feel more confident that the blank's going to come against the top four side. So, you know, that makes rotating attackers, you know, a thing that you can do when they're playing on these types of mid to low table teams, I think. So,
yeah, but for me, honestly, I don't like that. Like, just my personal opinion, or not even opinion, just my personal how I like to play the game. Like, I don't like benching Jimenez. Like, you can bench Jimenez, and Wolves' attack is certainly not great or anything, but I would prefer to have someone like Jimenez and a cheap fifth midfielder than to have, like, Deulofeu and Jimenez. Just throwing two names out there. I don't know if they rotate to, like, switch on and off who's, like, home in a good fixture or whatever. To me, if a player is worth benching sometimes, then I'm eyeing to transfer them out. I'm not talking about defense at all, I should say. I'm talking about attackers. Like, if I own someone that I'm comfortable benching in, like, a not that great fixture in my attack, then I don't want them at all. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that makes sense for sure. I hear that. That's usually how I play too. I mean, this is for my team, for example. I have Rondon, Deulofeu, and Jimenez, and I'm rotating two spots for the three of them pretty much. And I liked having kind of those three decent options during the Christmas period. But now that it's changing, is kind of why I was mentioning earlier, I'm going to kind of take a look and see what am I going to do. Like, when there's a week off between every game week, it usually I prefer as well, you know, have that 4-5 forward or 4-4-4-5 fifth midfielder and just put them first on the bench every game week. Or if it's the forward, probably last on the bench, play a defender ahead of them, because, you know, you in general want to put your money on the pitch. The more expensive players are better than cheap players by and large. So yeah. When there's, you know, again, it's just when there's a week off and you know you're 11 each week and you don't have any crazy rotation shouts or surprise team sheets, then it makes it a lot easier, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And Champions League is still over a month away. So
even
the top team should be pretty steady. Anything else to talk about, or should we move on?
No, I think we hit a bunch of good stuff.
Yeah, okay, let's go on. So who are you looking at for cap?
I mean, it's obviously Mo. If you have Mo, you cap him. That's for sure. But what do you think about the City home Wolves? Do you think there's... I don't know.
And Wolves are tough and haven't really gotten battered all season. That said, I would feel pretty comfortable captaining Raz.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine they won't score two.
Even Kuhn.
Yeah, they'll probably score two.
Yeah, just minimum two, probably.
I think the only thing with Wolves, it's kind of... I think it was coming up a game week or two game weeks ago when Wolves were playing someone and people were captaining... Let me see.
Liverpool.
Against the Tottenham game.
Oh, Tottenham.
When it was Kane, and Kane got ridiculously lucky to get points in that game, but... We have too large of a sample size right now from Wolves to think that, like, that's a good home fixture for a top four side. It is not good. I would probably captain Aubameyang would be my second option. I think West Ham defense is that bad.
Yeah.
Even though they're away, I think they could probably put four in that game. I assume it will be open because West Ham defense is diabolical. But behind him, then I guess, I mean, there really isn't anywhere to go besides City.
What do you think about Kane and Son?
Kane, yeah. I do expect goals, like a 2-2-3-2 type game, but it's always a tough one to predict, like a top four side when they play another top four side. You know, sometimes those games are just like nightmare played in the middle third.
Yeah, what I was going to say is
passing lanes.
Yeah, based on their individual defenders, I expect goals, but that's only based off of like personnel. We really have absolutely no idea. I mean, OGS and United have not been tested in the slightest by anyone who can score more than one goal. Any of the teams they just played are they going to play as attacking and like free flowing and Paul going to be in the final third all game? If so, then I expect Spurs to score like four. But if, you know, they're sitting a little bit deeper, the wingers help in defense and Paul has to track back and stuff, who knows? It's one of the hardest games to ever try and predict because there's a new manager who's never managed a big game. So yeah, I don't know where to go there, but I'd be nervous capping anyone in that game, I think.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat with you, just looking at the names of the defenders that Man United have, especially center back, the way they played. It's just, That's what I'm kind of hanging my hat on.
Yeah, their fullbacks are terrible and their center backs are terrible. Yeah.
So, I mean, they're obviously going to go with Matic, Herrera, Paul in midfield three. So, you know, I expect he'll put Lingard back up. Probably the same team he played a couple weeks ago with Lingard, Martial, and I mean, hopefully Martial. It could be Alexis, I guess, and Rashford up top. So, I mean, it's going to depend on how the game's going. But, you know, I could see the game being played in midfield in the middle third.
Yeah, I could see 3-3. I could see 0-0. Like, we just have no idea. It must be said also, I think United need the points way more than Spurs. I mean, Spurs are home. Usually that means they're the aggressors, but Spurs would be totally fine with a draw. Like, they're pretty comfy right now in top four, and they're just chilling. United need points. They're trying to gain ground and make statements, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, before we move on, I think it must be said that Spurs' defense also fills me with absolutely zero confidence. I mean, they have one of the worst goalies in the division. Fucking Toby's been all out of sorts. I think Davinson Sanchez is a nightmare. He has red cards and pen challenges in him every 90 he plays. So I don't think that they're stout by any means either. So, you know, it's going to be a fun game.
For Spurs, it's also at the midfield more than the defenders, even for Spurs. Like,
yeah, no doubt.
They're going to be running out like Winks and Sissoko.
They could get bullied.
Yeah, that's not a midfield that's intercepting lots of passes and making lots of tackles or anything like that. So I don't know. I almost feel like both teams are going to try and play on the counter, and it's going to be...
It'll be a weird one because of
that. A weird nothingness, unless someone breaks through early or something like that.
I back United to win that game.
Yeah, it's. I have no idea what's going to happen in that game.
If I was wagering on this game, I would back a United win to one, maybe.
Really? Like I think Spurs are better.
3-1. Yeah, I
3-1. Holy shit!
I don't think they can cope. I don't think they can handle it.
Damn.
Yeah.
The horses are free. You're saying?
Honestly, the style that Man United have been playing once they get the ball into the up opponent's half of just interchanging, everyone blazing about, moving laterally, switching positions, it's a lot to deal with. And I think Spurs' defense is fucking awful. So I don't think that they're going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I can see it. I just think Spurs are better.
I think they can run circles around them. Yeah, we'll see.
And our team, so what are you looking at? Are you bringing in Mo this week?
Yeah, so I did my move. I didn't do Lambs last week. I was just, my head was so far up my ass. I was bugging out so hard. My wife bought me a smoker for Christmas, and I was making two huge racks of ribs for people we were having over, and it took me 8 hours to make them. So I was just like freaking out about how to like get the temperature right and all this shit. Yeah, so I couldn't sit down for a half an hour to do Lambs. But I brought in De La Feo and Bennett for two other guys, I don't remember. But
Fernandez and Kev.
Yeah, Fernandez and Kev. And I freed up $4.8 million in the bank, which gives me exacties to do Sun to Mo. So Mo is like really close to rising by today. It's Monday. So I might do that after the Liverpool game today.
I didn't even know Liverpool were playing today. That's how much we care about the FA Cup.
Oh yeah, I mean, don't give a fuck. They could lose 20-0. I wouldn't give a fuck. Yep. I just want to know if Mo dies or not. But I'm also like a little bit thinking of taking a hit and doing Martial to Mo, and maybe downgrading like Rondon.
So you'd go like Rondon to Kamara. And Martial, yeah, just
it would sort of fix my positional money on the pitch type of an issue, and then I could do, you know, Son to Paul, something like that next week, and keep Son for the United game, because I don't want to get rid of Son for any game he's going to start. He's fucking one of the best players in the league playing out of position. So I'm not sure where I'm going to go yet. It's going to be one or the other. What do you think about that? I mean, it's the 4 points is something. It's definitely not
significant, and I like the players in the hit obviously more than not. But you're kind of leading, you're segueing well into my transfer section where I could do a Son Alonso or Son Felipe Anderson or something like that, double move for -4. But I feel decent just saving sort of and having. Letting Son run out one more match and then having more options and two frees next week. And for you, I kind of feel similarly. I mean, it's like...
There's no way I'm saving when I could do Son to Mo captain for free. That's not on the cards.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's meant because if you did save and then you could do like Martial, Rondon, and someone else for minus four and make a bigger switch and one that you're maybe happier with seems
if I had Aubameyang, I would consider it, but I don't want to. I don't have a captain. I don't want a captain against Wolves. I don't want a captain against Wolves, and I don't want a captain in the Spurs game. So that's a factor. That's a big consideration.
So yeah, I don't know. On paper, I think I like your second move a lot more because I agree that spending like, what is Rondon, 5, 7, or 8 now?
Yeah, 5, 7.
That's tough to swallow first on the bench for me, especially when Kamara is like starting and sometimes scores and he's not like that bad.
Only thing is I am, as of right now, starting Rondon at Chelsea and benching Jimenez at City. I mean, that's probably doesn't really matter. They're both.
Yeah, that's 6-1, half a dozen the other. Yeah. But yeah, Jimenez is he's fine to start every week, I think. He's like you saw in the Spurs game, he'll just do nothing and then get a chance. Man, that's really hard to evaluate because the 4 points is pretty significant. And another thing that it's beyond the 4 points, it also means next week you don't have a free transfer because you have to do some.
Right. Which is always annoying, but I would want to get Paul, so I wouldn't feel too bad about that.
You wouldn't feel too bad about that, but if someone gets injured or suspended dropped, then you feel really bad about it. For that reason, I would probably just do Son Demo.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm leaning. It just feels a little bit safer, but
it's like you're sort of saving a transfer and 4 points. Like that's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. You're right. So I'll probably do that. I'm going to check very closely the price changes and see if I have to do that today. Because I wish I had 0.1 buffer. It's so annoying because there are still more games. There are games tomorrow and on Wednesday. But
yeah, the Carabao Cup, right?
So you're thinking about saving and waiting.
I'm thinking about it. I mean, I have one free. Sun out gives me 11.3. So no matter what, if I get Mo in for Sun, I have to take a hit. Whether it's Alonso, Felipe Anderson, Rich, whatever I do. And a hit is a lot, and I just don't know. And I would love another data point on like Richarlison and Felipe Anderson, and even Alonso, to be honest. And they all have good fixtures this week. You know, Chelsea's home Newcastle, West Ham is home Arsenal, terrible defense, that's a good fixture, and Everton's home Bournemouth. I mean, I want all of these guys starting, and I want Son every week that he plays too, so. Mo is definitely the best cap, and I agree with you, he's the most important player in the game to get in ASAP, but like I'm transferring out 2 of 4 really good assets this week for a hit. Just doesn't seem good to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's so hard to evaluate. Like
that's I don't hate saving. I mean, when you put it when you're looking at the fixtures that you guys have that you would be having to force you would forcibly need to take out, it makes it tougher.
Yeah, like that's not a good hit. I mean, a hit in nature is questionable just because you're banking on like predicting 1 week basically instead of just saving and getting him next week for free, and it's
The main difference with this one is that you're hitting in a captain, it depends how much better you view that captain pick than what you're looking at on your team.
Right, and I agree with you there, and I think Obbs is a really fucking good captain.
Yeah, so for those reasons, maybe saving.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards saving, even though I'll lose more value and whatever. I just think I'm transferring out for a hit. I'm transferring out really good shots to return points, and I don't really like doing that.
I hope both of our I hope Mo and Obbs both do well for next pod's sake, because that's going to be a rough one if it goes the other way.
Oh yeah, I mean it's okay though. It'll feel not as bad because I completely brought it on myself and made the wrong call. You know what I mean? Versus
I mean it's the reasoning and the logic is there for sure.
Yeah, I mean also another thing is like if I started the pod with this, but if I decide that I want to keep Alonso, like let's say West Ham and Everton are just duds again, and I feel really bad about running them, like having 2 frees next week lets me make a triple move for -4, so I can maybe downgrade one of the midfielders and not have it be like a complete piece of shit spot if I make it a triple move instead.
Yeah.
So I want that flexibility also of potentially keeping Alonso, because if I was going to do it this week, it would kind of have to be Alonso, Because otherwise I'm getting in like fucking Stewie Armstrong and I just feel bad about my life. So, yeah, I think I'm going to lean towards saving.
Could you do Alonzo to Trent and have enough money or no?
Let's try it out right now, folks.
5-1?
Trent. No, I'd be 0.6 short. Yeah, so I'd really have to go to like, I'd probably go to like Juan.
Yeah, I want someone 4 or 5.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's pretty extreme.
Yeah, oof.
Yeah, tough. And a lot of games to still pay attention to this week, so we'll see. Bunch of new Patreon friends this week. Desperately, all of them need their asses slapped. Good job by you getting in for the cup. Good job, everyone. Anthony LaMartial, good friend of a friend gifting subscription there. Yui Viet Win. Don't know how to say your first name. Sorry about that. Bendik Akersberg Erickson, Vinay Moturi, Jack Healy, Kai Young Lung, Spurs Merchant, Adam Wozencroft, Alistair McDonald Frazier, Funk Star, Vidar Leanne Admundson, JJ Franklin, Frederick, no last name, Nikolai Hundvat, Phil Solarski, and Lou Gutierrez. All of you, welcome. Thank you so much for signing up. I'll be back to putting out behind the scenes regularly now that we have like more than 2 days in between every game week and I have time, so that'll be good. Anything else we're going to talk about or should we get out of here?
No, that's it.
Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfieldsports. Patreon.com/fmlfield.